Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right. Thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am, as always, your humble host, Michael Boldea. And another week has come and gone, and we're able to say that just happened.
This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, as they say in the business, round two or take two. We've been having some technical difficulties with the interwebs. We were a good 6 minutes into the program when the call dropped, and we lost it, so we're trying again. Hopefully this one goes through, and we're able to talk at you for the next 58, 57 minutes or so, because, you know, once again, that just happened. If you're unaware of what took place in these United States, one Mr. Robinette Biden decided that he'd rather ride off into the sunset than be carried off into the sunset, I think. He is no longer running for president of the United States come 2024 November. I haven't paid much attention as to how choosing a candidate works. I assumed it was supposed to be decided by the people, But then again, everything that a certain party decides is situational to the moment. And so one Kamala Harris has been crowned as the de facto candidate. So you can't say anything anymore. That's it. It's been decided. She's gonna be it. And there's already people coming out going, well, if you say that she's incompetent, that's racist. No, it's factual. I don't care what your skin color is. And let's face it, Kamala Harris isn't black. She's mulatto at best. But they will use racism as a wedge, as they always do, and as a way to keep from criticizing the atrocious record this woman has. I'm sorry, but they're trying to, scrub the internet of the last 20 years of this woman's life. Everything that was public knowledge, everything that was out there for people to scratch their heads and go, this is silly. It's being removed post-haste because they want to establish a narrative. This is the smartest woman that's ever walked the earth. You would be lucky to have a President Kamala Harris. And that's what they're going to go with. That's the narrative that they're going to go with. I've already told you what I believe. They cannot allow Senor Donald Trump to re-enter the White House and hold a position of power. And so whoever they need to use as the straw man, whoever they need to put up there, whatever face, they'll do it. However much they have to lie to everybody about how this is the most qualified individual to ever run for the office, how we would be doing ourselves a disservice as a nation not to embrace the wisdom of one Kamala Harris, not to understand the depth and profundity of every word salad that comes out of her mouth. It's not her that's dumb. It's you that's dumb for not understanding the wisdom of her pronunciations as she puts them and couches them in such a way where even a child can understand the depth therein. So, as of now, I guess they have to wait until the Democrat convention in Chicago. Thankfully, they're one city removed because they usually get a little boisterous. But I guess we won't know who the vice presidential candidate is until that time. But this is it's been a circus for a long time. This entire thing, everything that's happening, it just continues to solidify my belief and opinion that we are living in a clown world. And the people that are running this nation are absolute clowns. The thing that I'm curious about, the thing that I would like to have clarity on, is what position exactly will Dr. Jill Biden fill come, I guess December or whenever they get evacuated from the White House. Because all of these pleasantries, all of these niceties, oh, we love you, Joe. We love you, Kamala. We love you, Jill. It's all a fakery. These people despise each other. Right now, Jill Biden, whatever it is that they offered her, is big enough where she has to bite her tongue and come up with these, colloquialism. Oh, we love you so much. You make the sunshine in our hearts. It's a lie. These people despise everyone but themselves. So I'd like to see where Dr. Jill ends up. Perhaps it's a teaching position at some Ivy League school. Perhaps it's a board member on Fox, not the network, but the actual corporation. Whatever it is they offered her, I'm sure was substantial. And whatever aspiring artist Hunter Biden also got for keeping his trap shut and not telling his dad, you got to fight, Dad. Dad, you can win. You got to fight. because he understands. It had to have been something pretty large, because Hunter Biden's not an idiot. All right, he may be a crack addict, he may be a whoremonger, but he's not an idiot. And so he understands that once daddy is no longer sitting behind the desk, once daddy's no longer El Presidente, he won't be able to give his hard art away, never mind actually get legal tender for it. So all the backroom deals and all the things that got him a little extra stipend, all these things are going to go away the minute Joe Robinette Biden is no longer in office. So they had to come up with some sort of golden parachute for him. They had to offer him something substantial for him to no longer whisper in the decrepit year of his adult diaper-wearing father to stick at it, Dad, you can win. You won last time. 81 million people said they loved you. No, they didn't. Dead people can't speak. Apparently, they can just vote. So, and again, this is just another one of those things where you look back in hindsight and you realize the hypocrisy of these people and the duplicity of these people and just the situational morality. You're telling me, as a functioning adult, that the man who got the most votes in the history of these United States for the office of president is disposable at this point, even though you've been saying he's fully functional and sharp as a scalpel? How do you brush aside the man that got the most votes in the history of these United States if he's still healthy and cogent and still knows what his name is without reading it off the palm of his hand? I mean, 81 million people, folks. This would have been a landslide for Joe. You switch horses at the last minute and bring in a woman who is generally disliked by everyone on both sides. She's uncomfortable in her own skin. To think that this is the woman that's going to make the decision of whether or not these United States goes to war or launches a nuclear attack. Listen to one of her speeches if you can still find it on the internet, because they're busy scrubbing. We can't let people know how stupid this woman is. We got to eliminate everything she's ever said. Well, you know, Russia's a big country and Ukraine's a small country. Thank you, Rhodes Scholar Kamala Harris. And again, I talked about this during the first time we tried to record. Hopefully, but everything's going to be racist now. Anyone that criticizes this woman, anyone that points to the fact that she's inept, that's racism. They've already come out and said it. If you criticize Kamala Harris, it's racism. Never mind that it's factual, it's racism. Look, they beat this horse to death a few times. I mean, they could go, well, it's misogyny. Because we already had a black president, and Kamala Harris isn't really black. Let's be honest with ourselves. She's mulatto at best. Her dad or mom or whatever is Indian. But she will use the label of black because it will protect her. It will shield her from criticism because she, well, of course you're criticizing me. I'm black. Shut up. You're an idiot. That's why people are criticizing you. You can't put two words together to save your life, and you don't even have dementia like your boss. At least Joe Biden's got an excuse. What's yours? But this is apparently how it's going to be. They've already decided she was the horse they're betting on. They're going to bring in some vice presidential candidate that will appeal to a certain segment of the population. And again, just imagine. Just the two most obvious lizard people in the world, Kamala Harris and Gavin Newsom. Imagine those two And I don't mean lizard people. Is it a conspiracy theory? Are the aliens here? No, it's people uncomfortable in their own skin. It's people mimicking being human. Do you understand how disconcerting that is? And you saw that with Senator Schumer taking pictures of raw burgers with cheese already on them. We're grilling for the first time ever. Thumbs up. Shut up, you liar. You don't know your way around a grill. You'd burn your hairpiece trying to light a grill. They're trying to seem human when they're not. These people are alien, and I don't mean alien like spaceships and rectal probes. I mean alien as far as being removed from human emotion and sentiment. They don't know how to laugh. They don't know how to love. They don't know how to cry. To them, everything is about the polling. How are we supposed to react to a given event? Do we smile or do we frown? Do we pretend to be wiping a ear from our eye, or do we laugh? They don't allow themselves to live the human experience intuitively. And the handful of them that do, and I'm not talking about the politicians, but the people around them, you begin to see their true heart very quickly. A man gets killed and another one gets shot in the ear. And the best they can come up with is, don't miss next time. That's their true heart. And so whenever you see them showing empathy or compassion, that's them trying to mimic human emotion. It's them trying to mimic being human. And these are the people that are trying to lead your nation. If someone doesn't know how to be human, do you think they put any value on human life? Those are questions that we need to contend with, because say what you will about the big orange man, he is emotive. You understand where he is emotionally at any given time. He doesn't have to whisper to somebody to his right, was that funny? Am I supposed to laugh or am I supposed to cringe? But these people currently vying for the biggest office in the land and the people in the Senate and such, that's what they are. They're lizard people. Because to them, their entire existence gravitates around power. The attaining of power, the concentrating of power, and the keeping of power. So once they attain it, they want to retain it. Once they attain it, they want to grow it. And every single thing that they say they believe, they really don't. They just polled it, and it polls the best with, I don't know, single women between 18 and 37. By the way, I saw an article this morning. I was scrolling through Facebook. A young lady got sentenced to 3 years of prison for standing in front of an abortion clinic and quoting scripture. I know, but it's the big orange man that's the Antichrist, isn't it? You need to understand that all this is why I kept quiet about it. This is why I said I'm not going to engage, because everyone was very excited about the idea of Mr. Robinette Biden going away. Nobody questioned who was going to replace him. You have to understand that Kamala Harris is just as petty, just as vitriolic, just as hateful, just as angry as Joe Robinette Biden, but without the dementia. And so what he let slip once in a while, when you saw that spark of anger, the things that came out of his mouth that were like, whoa, Joe, I thought you were supposed to be the moderate. That's another lie they foisted on you. We're just eating lies every day. I'm surprised any of us can eat a cheeseburger once a week, because we're being fed so many lies. But this woman has all of those traits plus an inferiority complex without the dementia. So she's going to be this full time. She can pretend otherwise until she gets sworn in. But after that, if you thought your life as a Christian was hard with Mr. Robinette Biden, woo, doggy. Get ready, kids. It's a coming. And I know, but stop. Stop. See, you're talking yourselves into circles thinking Donald Trump's the Antichrist when he isn't. And when the true Antichrist comes on the scene, all of these people that were, yeah, I made 77 videos about how Donald Trump's the Antichrist, they're just going to disappear like a fart in the wind. All right? I'm just going to say it. And some of them are going to be shameless enough to shift. They're going to shift the narrative. They're going to focus on some other tertiary thing that's irrelevant, salvifically speaking. And they're going to push that because you're always going to find somebody on the edge of something, whether it's giants or aliens or flat earth or whatever else. There's always going to be a small group of people that are going to cheer you on and do their best to keep you alive, financially speaking, if you say as they say. And by the by, to the person that wrote me, well, your wife's sick because you won't acknowledge Donald Trump's the Antichrist. You're a clown. You're a clown. You have no idea what my wife's going through. And if I told you, some of you would probably lose your lunch. But to think that God is punishing my wife because I won't go along with your lunacy, yeah, that's biblical. It is. Your God might do that, sure. You need to grow up. I'm serious. There's just so much. Every single day it's a new thing. It's a new theory that we come up with out of thin air. This is it. Wait for it. You'll know when it is. That's the thing. When the Antichrist comes on the scene, it will not be veiled or couched in deception. The children of God will know who he is. And because the situation will be such where they will have to choose whether they live by faith and not have any of the safety nets they've gotten used to all of their life, or take a mark on their hand or on their forehead and be able to feed their families, many will make the conscious choice to save their flesh. That's going to be the reality of it. But we're not there yet. I think that technology is there. We're not yet. To accomplish both in Europe and the U.S., we've talked about this endlessly, 8 years, it's no longer about Republican and Democrat. It's about nationalist and globalist. And there's a lot of people who are currently in power in these United States that are perfectly fine with globalism because they think they'll have a seat at the table. That's just the reality that we're living. And right now, the angry old man's going to be in office until November. And because he doesn't care what public opinion might be, he doesn't care what the polls say about him, you're going to see the mask slip off of Joe Robinette Biden and understand the true hatred of his heart. So you're going to have this time of a few months where Mr. Robinette Biden's going to go ape. And then, it's a free and fair election. I'm sure it is. It's always been, hasn't it? And then come November, we're going to have elections that are going to magically, well, you know what? I mean, Joe Biden had 81 million votes, but the people understood the historical precedent of having a black woman president, and so 96 million people came out and voted. American prophetic, I know. Mike, you can't. Just wait. Be patient. Patience is a virtue. It's a virtue of the wise. And if you're patient enough, you begin to understand the things that seemed confusing. Because time tells the tale better than anyone or anything else. So that happened this week. Mr. Robinette Biden dropped out. And by all accounts, I mean, what's the number that Kamala Harris raised within 24 hours? It's a groundswell. It's a groundswell of support for the individual who in the Democratic primaries got less than 1% of the vote and was first to drop out. Make it make sense. This woman is less popular than crabs. She's less popular than any STD she might have dodged while climbing her way to the tippy top of politics. But we're supposed to believe that all of a sudden, there were millions of people giving over their hard-earned money because they had an epiphany. They realized just how wise Kamala Harris really was. Look, the people with the money and the people with the power want to retain their power and make more money. They understand that the easiest way for them to continue doing what they've been doing is to get behind Kamala so that they can reap the rewards of having backed the right horse. I'm just going to leave that there. Now, for those of you that thought wisdom and understanding and godliness was on an upswing, I ran across an article that said Elevation Church, the guy that looks one chromosome away from the knuckle-dragging ancestors of ours, brought in $108 million in tithes in the year 2023. And he had 2.1 billion streams. But hey, Rising Phoenix, Brother Mike, we're about to turn around. We're not. We're not, because the Bible is very specific on what the last days will look like. The Bible is very specific on what the last days church will resemble. And it's not the Church of Philadelphia, it's the Church of Laodicea, and you're seeing this in real time. Because the people with the watered-down messages, the people with the motivational speaker vibe, I guess is the best way I can put it, they're the ones that rake it in, kids. Because no matter how much they want to call themselves a church, they have an aversion to the idea of repentance. They have an aversion to the idea of righteousness. They have an aversion to holiness. And so anyone that tells them they can have heaven without turning their back on the world, without repenting of sin, is readily catapulted to the heights of spiritual authority in a nation that has turned its back on God. So I that tells me all I need to know about the condition of the church. Elevation Church brought in $108 million and had 2 billion streams downloaded. That's it. That's the only thing you need to know. So if people are flocking to those who would tickle their ears and rejecting sound doctrine. Please tell me the mechanism by which we will see revival in the land, because that's the other drum that's being beat incessantly. Well, when the revival comes, look, a lot of individuals are looking at the Republican big tent, and they're going, how could they? Because in places that were considered the Bible Belt, in places that were considered Christian-centric, you had blowout elections for abortion up until and past birth, homosexual marriage, and all the other things that the Word of God frowns upon. So you tell me how to reconcile the two, all right? In predominantly Christian states, sin, perversion, and the murder of innocents passes by wide margins, yet we're very angry when somebody reaches out and, I don't know, invites an Indian. I get it. I understand. But tell me what the fix is. If the church isn't living like the church and voting based on its principles and morals, how exactly are we going to fix this? But when you get somebody like Kamala into office, who has a very real and visceral antipathy towards Christians and Christianity, and when Christians being put in prison for exercising their faith will become so common practice that it's not even going to make the news anymore, maybe then we'll open our eyes and realize the times that we're living in. So, another thing that I've noticed, and another thing that stands out to me, and what stands out to me usually doesn't stand out to a lot of people, but the former president, Barack Obama, has not as yet endorsed Kamala Harris, even though basically everyone else and their uncle has. So my question is this, what's he waiting on and what will be the price of his endorsement? Because I do believe Barack Obama is an intelligent enough person to understand the kind of horror show a Kamala Harris presidency will be. And so from where I'm sitting, I think he's withholding his support, he's withholding his endorsement until he gets to handpick who the vice president is going to be. And it's going to be the vice president that's going to take a more active role in the governing of the country rather than the laughing one, Kamala Harris. I think that's the game that's being played here. Because otherwise, I mean, he's like the last big holdout. Everyone else fell in line so quickly. I'm sure the Democrat voters are just, you know, sitting there wondering how exactly this came about. I understand that we're going to try to bury this and not remind ourselves of the fact that this woman got less than 1% of the Democrat vote during the primaries. But it's something that we need to vocalize and remember day in and day out so that when the election results come out, Hillary Clinton can't come back and go, the first thing we need to do in order to reach across the aisle and be at peace is for you to acknowledge that this was a free and fair election. Remember that? That was the caveat. Sure, we can get back to normal, but you have to turn a blind eye to all the fishy stuff that went on. They're trying to position the same narrative for a woman who is more disliked than herpes. She's glorious. She's a genius. Can you believe we got so lucky? And I'm reading the things that are being said about her, and I think they think you're stupid. To be honest with you, I think they think your short-term and long-term memory are so lacking that you don't know what this woman said as little as a month or 2 months ago. So, and the thing, the disconcerting thing, I'm going to get away with it. People's attention span is that shallow that they're going to get away with it. American prophetic, the narrative is already being established, the machine is well oiled and ready to go, and then Jamie Vance said something very profound a couple of days ago. Perhaps the most profound thing I've heard come out of the mouth of politicians in a very long time. They are fully aware that it doesn't matter who's standing up. A good portion of the nation, some 50%, 48%, 49%, will just vote part on. Even if they look at Kamala Harris, she absolutely no accomplishment. Even though they see the things she said and realize that she poses a real and present danger to people of faith that are unwilling to go along with any narrative that they establish, they'll hold their noses and go above. But to me, I think the most, and I mean, the woman has been cringy for some time. I speak, of course, of Dr. Jill Biden, who got her accreditation from the same university as Dr. Pepper. But First Lady Jill Biden thanked the people who supported her husband for never wavering in their support. Why did his party waver if the people didn't? I thought it was supposed to be the party of the people. Uh-huh. I know. These are questions to which there is no answer, and so why ask them anyway? In a post, or in a note, posted on Twitter, I'm still not going to call it X, just because I won't, the First Lady said that her heart is full of gratitude and her wallet is full of money and her bank account somewhere in the Caymans has a lot of zeros after it because it took a lot for this woman to relinquish the power that she had. It was, I honestly believe Mr. Robinette Biden's been out of it for so long that it, to him, it's all gravy or ice cream, whatever you want to call it. But her and his son are the ones that kept propping up a cadaver and insisting that he's sharp, he's so sharp, I cut myself on his intellect every morning. So whatever it is that they got, believe you me, it was substantial. To those who never wavered, to those who refused to doubt, those people were delusional. If you never wavered and if you refused to doubt, seeing this man over the course of the last 6 to 8 months and seeing his rapid decline, then you were delusional. You need professional help. If you thought Joe Biden of 2024 was as sharp as the Joe Biden of 2018 or 2020 or 2022, you need help. Joe Scarborough, I'm talking to you. Anyway, let's continue. To those who never wavered, to those who refused to doubt, to those who believed, My heart is full of gratitude because we took your faith, we took your trust, we took your support, and we leveraged it for money so that I and Hunter and his predilections for cheap women and even cheaper substances would be well-funded well after Joe is mummified. Thank you for the trust you put in Joe. Now it's time to put that trust in Kamala. I'm sure this woman was probably three sheets to the wind when she had to write this, because I guarantee you she wouldn't have done it sober, because it would have been too much. It would have been too much. First Lady's post came as the president addressed the nation. For the first time since announcing on Sunday that he was withdrawing from the presidential race and endorsing Harris to be the first Democrat Party's presidential nominee. While the president has been self-isolating in Delaware, oh, and that was another thing. We didn't talk about it last week, but that was another thing that they started because they were hoping, you know, that all the whispers about Mr. Biden dropping out were just a ruse. So the narrative that was being bandied about, and I need you to listen to this very carefully to understand the level of delusion these people live under. First one to voice it after it was parroted by many was Joy. When that woman, her declaration was this: if Joe Biden survives COVID, it's as brave and as praiseworthy as Donald Trump surviving an assassination. Let that sink in. You're thinking to yourself, COVID, I was listening. Apparently that's the assertion. And he too bravely survived this peaceful statement. Donald Trump survived a gunshot to the head. We are living very interesting times. This is a circus beyond anything any of us would have imagined. And the one thing I know for certain is that it's only going to get worse. I tell you this without any sort of glee, without any sort of joy, because I'm going to be here and I'm going to be witness to it. And although I don't live in a major city, I think it'll spill out into the suburbs at some point. But the next few months are going to be very chaotic in America. And every single enemy America has understands just how chaotic it's going to be, because these people will not relinquish power. I don't care what the polling says. By the way, oh, Gino mentioned it. Now they're even. I mean, the woman who got less than 1% of the Democrat vote during the primaries is now running neck and neck with the man who likely took the most iconic photo of the century with his blood rolling down his cheek and his fist in the air with the American flag in the background. Apparently, everything that occurred over the past 2-3 weeks, from the assassination attempt to his fist pumping to the Republican convention and the speeches that were given, absolutely nothing to move the needle. And overnight, seemingly out of nowhere, Kamala Harris, neck and neck. And you know what? Give it a couple of weeks, And they're going to say she has a 10-point lead. I mean, the big orange man should just give up already. Just go play some golf. Enjoy your elder years. Take your grandkids out for some ice cream. It's done and done. There's no point, is there? And then we still have his sentencing that's hanging above his head like the sword of Damocles, don't we? We also have, I know this is a word I've been using a lot, escalation with the Russians from Europe deciding it's a good idea to let the Ukrainians use their long-range missiles to attack Russia, to our continual desire to foment this just in case we need a plan C or D or E or F. I don't know. There's what, 26 letters in the alphabet. We're probably going to get to the X's and the Y's soon. So they tried to float another lockdown. They tried with the bird flu. They tried with the monkeypox. They tried with a bunch of things, and people aren't biting anymore. And so I think they're scrapping that one, unless something really horrible just pops out of nowhere. Just, you know, 600 citizens in Texas died bleeding from orifices. We need to lock down again. Everybody vote by mail. Democracy is at stake. Unless that happens, we're going to war. They're keeping it in the back pocket, I think. That may be the ultimate October surprise. And you have to realize that if a man is incapable of running for another term, he's also incapable of running the country momentarily. This is yet another thing that apparently we're blind to in this country. If the man has what many perceive as being dementia, if the man is incapable of articulating an idea or thought, how is it that he still remains president? The man that is, as George Bush put it, the decider as to what we do and when we do it. I hope I'm wrong, but look, I'm not... All right, American prophetic, all right? If I were to go to the dark side and I had to plan out a strategy for the next few months, the first thing that I would do would be to eliminate Joe Robinette Biden so that they could come back and say, look, she's already got 3 months of presidential experience because she'd become the president. Because right now, that's what they're hammering her on. Not just her dislikability, but also the fact that she really has absolutely no experience. Everything that she was given, from the border to health crises to whatever, just fumbled, absolute, atrocious. And so if I were to bolster the idea that she is qualified and now has experience, I'd remove that chess piece from the board so she can take over. I hope I'm wrong. I hope the man lives out his days eating ice cream and sniffing kids' hair, although hopefully with the kids' permission. But the way I'm seeing it is that it wasn't enough for him to say, I'm not running for re-election. It was just the first salvo. Now that she's been, for lack of a better term, crowned as the candidate, the next step would be to bring her into the presidential role for a couple of months so that people could say, look, she's amazing. You're thinking to yourself, Mike, that's beyond the pale. Hasn't everything that's been happening over the last few months been beyond the pale? Look, we're in uncharted territory here. All the people that were sending, you know, thoughts and prayers to Donald Trump were just angry that the kid didn't succeed. I mean, they did everything but have a Secret Service agent just point blank shoot at him. All the things that are coming out about that thing, I told you it smelled fishy. I told you there was more to it than just, you know, seemingly mentally incapacitated young man deciding to grab a ladder and a gun and climb a roof. It's, you know, granted, it was slanted, okay? The roof had a slant to it, so he had to have some wherewithal to be able to climb on that roof when others weren't able to. But still, this thing smells fishy. And whoever pulled the strings for it to become a reality weren't hoping that he survived. They weren't hoping that he'd just get grazed. And so that plan failed. I do believe they're going to try again. I think at this point they've got nothing to lose because you can only stretch people's credulity so much and so far. Less than 1% of Democrat voters voted for this woman in the Democratic primaries. Pete Buttigieg got more votes than Kamala Harris. And now you're beginning to realize that all of the flowery words that she spoke and all these other fools, we're behind you, Joe, we know you can do it. All the while she was undermining the man behind the scenes and making backroom deals. Because all these people have is their lust for power. They have no true joy in their lives. They have no true accomplishment where they can point to it and go, I built this. Like I said, they're lizard people. And if you take away their power, they've got nothing left. They're vapid, empty, hollow. And so for anyone who believed that Kamala was backing Joe, you're fooling yourself. The same way you're fooling yourself that Dr. Jill Biden had a change of heart and now believes Kamala is the most accredited and best-suited individual in the nation to be president. And I know that we were kind of politics-heavy on this program, but we need to understand the context. And now we're going to get into the ramifications. Because if this woman does take the oath of office, what you thought was Christian persecution thus far will seem like a walk in the park. Because the next target won't be people standing in front of abortion clinics. The next target will be people standing behind pulpits. We can't have people saying things that would hurt other people's feelings. Even though the feelings they'd be hurting belong to individuals that are demonstrably just mentally ill. There will inevitably be a push to silence pastors and preachers or make them go along with the narrative. Some already have. Some already are. They're celebrating and validating practices that have been demonstrably linked to the downfall of civilizations and empires. Read the history of the Roman Empire, read the history of the Greek Empire, and every single time, a decade, two decades, three decades before their fall, before their destruction, their men were feminized, the family was deemed as something less than ideal. They stopped having children, and they gave themselves over to all manner of perversions. understand that this isn't accidental. Everything that's been happening over the last 30, 40 years wasn't by accident. It was, oh, everyone's been enlightened and illuminated. No, those actively pursuing the destruction of this nation understood that in order to collapse it from within, you must remove the foundation. What is the foundation of any viable nation? Family and faith and patriotism. That's it. If you have no family to fight for, if you have no faith that you are on the side of right, if you have no reason to be patriotic because every single talking head is telling you how evil your nation is, when, not if, when a new system is brought to bear, when a new system of equity and equality for all is foisted upon the citizenry, a vast majority of that citizenry will conclude that there's nothing fighting for anyway. Big state kids, but this is where we are. This is what is happening. And for everyone that celebrated prematurely, oh, this is going to be a and I can't think of one state that's not going red. Done it for 3, 4, 5 times,
no.
both in the midterm and the primaries. Don't do it again. Understand that there are powerful people, powerful entities that would like nothing more than to see the absolute collapse of this nation. There are individuals currently in power and in government in America that are not only excited about the prospect of collapse, but doing everything they can to hasten it. We are a nation that has been, by any metric, invaded. And those that have come in, as of now, are, by and large, keeping to themselves and not saying much because they're being given, whether through the welfare system, free housing, whatever it is. But eventually that money is going to run out. How will they react? They have no roots in this country. They have no vested interest to see it succeed. They're economic migrants, and the economy that they were hoping they would be able to suckle at the teat of will no longer provide the sustenance they've come to expect. Also take into account that not every single person that crosses the border, illegally or otherwise, is here with good intent or intentions. They have marching orders and they're waiting for a green light. So if you think the next few months are going to be fun and you can plan your vacations abroad, I'd, use a little wisdom just in case. Anyway, I have no idea how far along we are because we did restart the program, but we've come to the end that I think we're at. So, Gino, if you've got anything to say, the floor is yours. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for continuing to keep my wife in your prayers. To the person that wrote me that lovely email, you are a clown. And if you would like, I will give you my home address. You can show up and we can fisticuffs. Because you can say anything you want about me. I've heard it all. I've got tough skin. I got thick skin. But when you bring my kids and my wife into the mix, just because you disagree with my point of view, you're crossing a line.
Yep.
And when you cross that line, even teddy bears get angry sometimes. Just saying. But let me know if you want my address. All right. God bless you guys. Gene, it's yours.
Well, Mike, they show up at your house, call me. I'll be there as well. Because, you know, I consider where the word says, love your enemies, do good to them that persecute you. And then we've got the audacity to say someone going through a health issue is getting judged because we don't believe the theology of what Mike's saying or even if what I say at times. And you know what? It just shows people got too much time on their hands, point fingers. I thought Isaiah, point fingers when you fast and pray. Don't do the pointing of the finger. But one other point about the election, we're seeing, you know, Mike brought up the churches. Guess what? This weekend in my hometown, they are going to have a drag show again at a church, not the park. Because last year we fought hard in prayer, fasting, going to meetings to say we don't want this in our park. We don't want nuns dressed in drag. We don't want pastors. Churches are involved in gay pride parades. You know, I'm upset in Nashville that a guy that heads up a Christian record label, he supports the gay pride parade down there. I won't mention his name, but you know what? That's where that is apostasy. Now, I do believe there's pockets of people trying to pray and live right, but you know what's called a remnant? Because Mike made a PowerPoint, then why are they voting in nut jobs around the country for so many officers? I mean, people that wouldn't get a vote in more normalized nations. Gavin Newsom is a complete nut job. Come on. And you could name a whole lot more, including in our state, where someone's now on the Supreme Court of Wisconsin who totally wants to abdicate our pro-life law and just have open-ended abortion. And the other thing I want to make a point of, America was pro-life until 73, I believe it was, and we had the Word of God in school, and we had prayer and the pledge. And if we're such a nation that wants righteousness, why is there such an effort to remove so much of this stuff? Now, I want to give a big shout-out to Tennessee. I did a concert in Nashville a few weeks ago, and the state of Tennessee declared July a month of fasting and prayer, and I know for sure there's a powerful prayer movement down there that God's been cultivating of people that won't bend their knee to Baal and will stand for the faith. Senator Pody, Governor Lee, my friends from Kings Hill, but in the scope of the whole country, if anything's going to change, then we need to see it at the ballot box. We need to see it behind the pulpit, and we need to see it on the school board, the county board. We need to see it locally. We need to see it across the board where even our kids are affected. Thank you for listening to the Light of Truth radio broadcast.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Boldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect